Good morning, Delaware. It is a, well, you know, with that Christmas music just before, it kind of feels a little bit like Christmas out there with the snow we had this week and everything. And
you know what we need?
What do we need?
A beer.
Boom, baby!
And a beer.
Well, Gage is old enough to join us now, so yeah.
Yeah!
Congratulations, Gage!
Why, thank you!
We were just talking about Christmas music out in the hall before we came in here today.
Yep.
And I'm involved in something called the Little Drummer Boy Challenge. Do you know about this?
I do not.
People just join this. There's no registration or anything. But what you do is try to avoid the song The Little Drummer Boy.
Okay.
As long as you can.
Yep.
Okay, last year I heard it on Black Friday.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'm out.
This year I've made it this far, and what happens is it's a fundraiser actually for AmeriCares. So if you want to, you can give to it. You don't have to. But then there's a website where you go and you actually report yourself when you've heard it and say where you heard it. And you know, like some people have spouses or like Kyle at the library has threatened if I come into tech services, they're going to play it just so I lose the game.
See, and I, everybody, people at the library love to play it. And I remember they get real passionate about it. Like, don't you try to out me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, they're like, are you playing? And I'm like, of course I'm not playing because I love Christmas music. And I will not avoid Christmas music for the sake that I might hear The Little Drummer Boy. Plus, The Little Drummer Boy, I don't think is the worst of the Christmas songs.
That's true.
I think it's not the worst of the Christmas songs. I think it's a good one.
There are worse Christmas songs. But,
yeah.
But this one, I just can't imagine, you know, going to see a brand new mother and playing the drum at her when she's trying to, the baby just fell asleep and you're playing a drum.
But it's a happy drum. It's like a prum.
I don't care. It's still a drum with a baby and sleeping and mom. And
Listen, that kid has got to get used to noise at some point, okay? Otherwise, they're going to have a difficult sleeper for the rest of their life. Okay, what would you say, unpopular opinion, what's one of your least favorite Christmas songs?
Christmas Shoes.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that's
country song country. About a kid with a dying mother and Christmas.
Oh.
Not what I enjoy at all at that time of year.
Mine, I'd have to say, is All You Want for Christmas Is You. I hear that one
that's another
20
one
times
know.
A day. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I love Mariah Carey, but I hear that song too much.
It's really, that's all you hear. Uh-huh. And mine is probably, I really don't like the Charlie Brown, The Christmas Time Is Here.
Christmas Time.
What?
No, I don't. No. I don't.
Can't deny Snoopy, come
but
on.
Children's voice. Voices.
But the Viscerall beat.
Oh, yeah. That's
I like
the
that.
Best. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what's your favorite Christmas song?
Well, I think you actually might have said my favorite all-time Christmas song is O Holy Night.
That's my favorite religious Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Which version? Like, which artist? Do you have, like, a particular?
You know what? I don't think anyone who's a professional artist can do it wrong. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I heard a version the other night on TV, the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting, and it was Matthew Harrison, is that his name, who was in Glee and then was on Broadway?
Oh,
he's playing
Morrison.
The Grinch.
Matthew Morrison. Yeah.
Who did a beautiful job of it. Just an absolutely glorious version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite secular Christmas song is Silver Bells.
Okay.
I just love that one.
I like the Elvis Presley version.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Silver Bells.
Yep. Yeah, and I like the original with Bob Hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great Christmas song.
I like some good rock and roll Christmas, too.
Rock and roll.
You've heard our guest today is Gage Tellis. He's actually going to talk to us about some of the changes that are coming to WDLR, WCD, WQTT, the whole family.
The whole family
of stations that's going to be here. But before we do that, so what have you been scanning, reading, listening to?
I have been paying attention to some of the holiday reads. We had a list that we posted on our Facebook page this week that was basically if Hallmark movies had a book equivalent,
mm-hmm.
that's what we posted.
Ah, okay.
So it's you know, if you love Hallmark holiday movies, check out these books. These are all holiday romances. There's a list of, let's see, 12 on our Facebook page, and it's gotten some good attention. So visit us, facebook.com/Delaware Library, or just search for the Delaware County District Library. But I was going to mention a couple, at least. Some of the fun ones. I love Jasmine Guillory. She has a series called The Wedding Date. This one is actually the fourth in the Wedding Date series. It's called Royal Holiday. And of course, Vivian has been out of the country for a grand total of one time. So when she gets the chance to tag along on her daughter Maddie's work trip to England to style a royal family member, she can't refuse.
Whoa.
And so she's excited. excited to spend the holidays taking in the magnificent British sights, but what she doesn't expect is to become instantly attracted to a certain private secretary, his charming accent, and an unyielding formality. I just can't. I am not a romance reader, and I also am not a Hallmark movie watcher, but some of these just like sound so cheesy and so gushy that you're like, okay, I should read that.
Well, I saw a meme the other day that says, what has 642 movies, 15 actors, 3 sets, and 1 plot? The Hallmark Christmas
Jay. I like it. 1 plot and a continuous,
She hates her job. She either gets fired or decides to come home for Christmas. She's the only one who can save Christmas. The guy who's minimally employed, she falls instantly in love with.
Small town.
It always goes back to a small town. Mm-hmm. And everything works out in the last 5 minutes.
There you go.
It's the plot.
That's how you got to do it.
Yep.
I don't like the last 5 minute resolve. Okay, then we've got Jenny Bayliss, The 12 Dates of Christmas. Uh-huh. I think the titles are just as much fun as all the rest of it. You know, when it comes to relationships, 34-year-old Kate Turner is ready to say bah humbug. And get ready for it, George. The sleepy town of Blexford, England isn't exactly brimming with prospects. But anyway, Kate's found fulfillment as her career as a designer, only one who can save the day. Her best friend signs her up for a dating agency that promises to help singles find love before the holidays, which that's just unfair.
It is true. You know, puts a lot of pressure on the holidays.
No agency should be able to do that. That's false advertising. Mm-hmm. 23 days until Christmas, 12 dates with 12 different men. The odds must be in her favor. Right. That could also take a really sinister twist and become
it could,
a horror.
Yeah. That could end up like, you know, arsenic and old lace. They could end up in the basement as locks in the Panama Canal.
Nothing can go wrong. Oh, man.
Any of these could be converted into a horror,
horror movie
easily.
I know.
That's it, the Hallmark Horror Movie Channel.
I think that's what it's going to become.
We've got to do that.
I mean, I could go on and on because these are just too much fun, but I'm going to let our other friends have some time, too.
Oh, okay, great. Gage, we were talking earlier about what your favorite book as a kid was.
Uh-huh.
Go
and
ahead.
I got to say, my favorite book of all time as when I was little is Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yes.
I tell you what, when I was little, every time I would finish one book, I cannot wait to read the next because it was just... I mean, you can picture it in your mind. And to me, I don't really read a lot of books, but that one is the one I would read. And it's been a fantastic. It's been a long time, and I'd be willing to do it again.
What's it about? What's happening in this Wimpy Kid diary?
It's been so long. All I remember is, forgive me for those who have read the book, and I could be horribly wrong at this, but for what I remember is that it was a little boy in high school. And he would always get bullied in high school. And then, you know, he would also, it's basically his life. He would write about his life. It's happening in high school, middle school, all the way up to college, basically.
Oh, nice.
So, but that's all I remember.
But there's humor and there's heart.
Yep.
And hubris.
And
I had to add another.
He would talk about his crush. I mean, it was basically just a normal, like, high school life.
Right.
He's just writing a diary about it.
The thing is, for all those kids who feel that way, he does okay. He perseveres.
Is that Greg? Is
Greg? Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Greg's the mm-hmm. main character.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and they've done a movie about him. I know at least
they
once.
Did do a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw it was a great movie.
Cool. <That's> great. So, I actually, after seeing a lot of people talking about it online, I finally broke down last weekend and watched The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, okay.
7 episodes. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Is that the one about chess?
It's the one about chess.
I don't know anything other than that.
I know how the pieces move, and that's it.
Yeah.
I've tried playing chess a number of times in my life and have never been able to think beyond, okay, the horse one goes like this and the one with the pointed head goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know anything about chess to enjoy this.
It's low about barrier entry.
Very low. It's about an orphan kid who's living in an orphanage in... basically no man's land. And she meets the janitor there because she's down in the basement clapping erasers. And she sees a chessboard and she has no idea what it is. And she sees this guy, the janitor, playing both parts of the game himself.
Mm, okay.
And she gets interested in it and she asks him about it. And he doesn't really want to get involved with a student or anything like that. But slowly he realizes that she's a prodigy. She's already picked up just from watching him what the moves are and some of the strategy. And so he decides to take her under his wing and teach her how to play chess. And it turns out she really is a prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
She moves quickly up the ranks, but her life is a mess. After a few years in the orphanage, she does get adopted, and she lives with a very dysfunctional family.
What era is this?
It starts in the early 1950s.
Okay.
The book it's based on was written in 1984.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize. It was published in 1984. It was written by Walter Tevis, who's probably best known for writing The Hustler and The Color of Money.
Interesting.
And he also wrote The Man Who Fell to Earth, which was the David Bowie movie.
Oh, okay.
So he wrote a total of 6 novels, 3 of which were made into hit movies, one of which was made into a hit miniseries. And I haven't read this one, but it sounds like it would be a great movie. It's called Mockingbird. It's a post-apocalyptic. It was written in the 60s. 1980.
Okay.
Excuse me. So anyway, it takes her right up through becoming a grandmaster in chess. And it runs from, like I said, the mid-50s when she's orphaned, right up to about 1971, 72 maybe, mm-hmm. when she actually hits that grandmaster. And it is brilliant. The woman who plays the lead, Beth, her name, Anna Joy Taylor, I think it is. Anna Taylor Joy. That Anya Taylor Joy.
Hmm.
She is brilliant because, you know, what do you do with chess? You know, she sits there at the board, and what the cinematographers have done is created this thing where when she's alone, when she's playing the games in her head, she sees the chess moves on the ceiling.
I'm envisioning like a Beautiful Mind kind of cinematography.
It's sort of like that. Yeah, it really is. But her life is a mess. She's not what you call a lovable character. She's not somebody that, you know, you're rooting for her, but it's like you're also rooting for her to clean up her bloody life.
Get it together.
Get it together, right. And the other characters around her, there's not any villains, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody bad in this thing. Everybody's trying to do the best. And so
nobody's doing a good job at it.
It's kind of like Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut said he never wrote a book with a villain in it because nobody's really a villain in their own mind. And I think that's what you see in this as well. It's just a really, and now I'm reading the novel. Again, I said it was written in 1983. Actually, it was published. It's brilliant. The book is every bit as good as the miniseries. And this is one of the few miniseries I've ever watched that I would happily watch again.
And where can you find the miniseries now?
Right now it's on Netflix.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be available in DVD soon, but it's definitely worth it. It's, like I said, 7 episodes, each about an hour long, and just brilliantly done. Every one of them has a good arc within that individual episode.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the little girl who plays her as the young orphan, when she's orphaned when she's about seven-ish,
mm-hmm.
is kind of like how you would imagine Wednesday Addams.
Oh, yes.
She didn't have a sense of humor.
Yes. Because
the kid's really just a blank until she discovers chess.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just trying to survive in this orphanage. She makes friends with an older student who's there, sort of. They're kind of frenemies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that happen to her in the orphanage, they basically give the kids 2 tranquilizers a day to keep them calm.
Ugh.
Until the state finds
that's
out.
Every parent's dream, you know.
I know. That's why Benadryl is so popular.
It's
yes.
Wonderful.
So anyway, I can't recommend this highly enough. It's The Queen's Gambit. It's on Netflix now. It'll be in CD or DVD soon, I'm sure. And if you can't wait, read the novel,
read the book,
because it's really good. It's The Queen's Gambit by Walter Tevis, T-E-V-I-S. So we're going to take a break here. When we get back, we're going to talk about what's going on here at WDLR. So stay tuned.
Alan is great.
Yeah, I think he and you should do Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, there you go.
I really
the cold,
stay.
Alan, I like it.
But Baby It's Cold Outside.
The baby is cold outside.
Oh my goodness. Start talking about Christmas music, you just can't get off the subject.
Yeah, I love it so much.
It's favorite time of the year.
It is.
The most. Wow, I can't.
So anyway, we're going to just have to do a show of just Christmas music. We'll get you
the Christmas off the shelf show.
That's it, yes.
Could it be all season? I will tell you, last night our church had a toy drive, bring and drop off toys. They also had socially distanced. They also had like you could like stuffed animals and different stuff like that. And I was talking to our pastor and I was like, hey, I haven't heard, we go to a contemporary, they play contemporary music. And I was like, hey, I haven't heard any Christmas music yet. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, where's the Christmas music, Sean? And he was like, I don't really like a lot of Christmas music. I was
what?
Like, what season are we in right now? It is Advent. I need Christmas music. He's like, well, and this is meanwhile, while he's like, hey, do you want to sing in the praise team? And I was like, not if you're not going to play Christmas music.
It's a trade deal.
Seems fair that, you know, if you want something, you got.
Yeah, this for that. So. I know.
What time of the year? Well, you said this was last night.
This was last night.
Oh, yeah. It's totally time for Christmas.
It's totally it is. You know, I don't like it when they start playing Christmas music right after Labor Day.
Right.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
but, you know, anytime after Thanksgiving's fair game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in a church.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
Kind of the home setting of the Christmas holiday.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, speaking of the holidays, how's this for a segue?
Okay.
After the holidays, there's going to be some major changes at WDLI.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yes.
So Thanksgiving morning, I'm reading the paper at the Columbus Dispatch at home, and I see WWCD to have new home. And I'm reading the article and says they're going to Delaware. I go,
what
the heck? I know that station.
A lot of listeners were thinking the same way.
I'm sure they were. So let's start with what's going to happen. Start with WWCD. They're coming here.
Yeah. So back, you might have heard right before Thanksgiving, they were CD 101,
right.
And then they became CD 102.5. But now they lost the frequency 102.5, and then they. Came up here and we made a deal with them, and they're going to be on 92.9 starting on January 1st. So CD 92.9, they got the Blue Jackets, alternative music, and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we're doing is we're not going away. We're going to make room for them, and we're just going to go up the dial to 96.7 and 1270. And as a matter of fact, 1270 is a really, really strong signal. So
that's great.
So we're simulcasting over there as well. So hello, Union County listeners. So.
Hey, how all of our friends over in Union County, the Marysville Public Library. Hey, Nisa.
Hey.
There you go.
She's the director of the library over there. So
is 92.9, does that frequency reach, because we're broadcasting right here out of, you know, kind of the heart of Delaware. Mm-hmm. Does it reach into Franklin County?
Yes, it does. Yep. And there's actually another tower down in Franklin County that is also on 92.9 that they'll be on. So, yep, 92.9 gets pretty good down into Franklin County. And right now we are working, and we've had a few listeners ask us going, well, if you're going to go to 96.7, you know, the signal's not as strong right now because, you know, that our tower over there is in Marysville.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're currently working right now to increase the power on it just a little bit, change the little settings on there to make sure you guys can get it pretty good so you can have the same WDLR as we've always been, just on a different frequency.
Okay.
So the people who we know and love in the morning, like Mark and Kathy, or Mark and Pam, and we've got
City Digest.
The City Digest. Mm-hmm. We've got our show, all of that beginning January 1st. Say it again where it goes.
So we're going to go to 96.7 and 1270 AM.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, 1270 actually gets very good down into Franklin County. As a matter of fact, I've had it all the way almost in Baltimore, Ohio. So.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, 1270. A really good signal, so we're also simulcasting on 1270 in Marysville.
All right, great.
Now some people listen through like their smart devices, like Amazon Alexa, TuneIn, different things like that.
Yep.
How's that going to work?
So it's going to remain the same. All you got to do is you can take us wherever you go with the TuneIn app. It's free on your iPhone or Google Play, whichever phone you got. Just once you search TuneIn, search for WDLR, and we're right there, and you can take us wherever you are right there on your smartphone. And we're also streaming live on WQTTradio.com as well. For our Marysville listeners, so pretty much we're all over the place. So if you're worried you can't get our new signal from where you are, don't worry. We're always streaming online right there on my929.net, WQTTradio.com, or right there on the TuneIn app. Just search for WDLR, and you got us right there.
So will 96.7 keep the same music formats that you're
doing,
the kind of 70s, 80s, and 90s music?
Yep, the exact same music, because that was a few things that everybody was worried about. You're like, if you're going to go over there, are you changing the music? Nope, the exact same 92.9 as you've always known. The Mid-Ohio Breakfast Club in the morning, Bob Allen in the middays, myself in the afternoons, and then, of course, our great two live shows and all the weekend programming, all on 96.7. And since we have, we were previously, that used to be Classic Rock WQTT, for our Classic Rock listeners, some of you have wondered, we used to have Bob and Tom in the morning over there right about now.
Right.
Our other sister station, Classic Rock 95X, which is 95.1, still carries the Bob and Tom show. So Bob and Tom listeners, if you're wondering where that show went, it is still on our other station, 95.1. So if you want to listen there, Bob and Tom's on there. Otherwise, it's us here in the morning, and we're happy to serve Union County and Delaware County areas.
I have a personal vendetta.
Radio.
I have a personal vendetta against Bob and Tom that goes back almost 15 or 20 years.
Okay.
We have time. Tell us why you don't like Bob and Tom.
I have always been a fan of local radio. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was in high school, I had my boombox in my room. I had my dial tuned. I liked classic rock.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up in New Philadelphia, and we picked up stations pretty well from the Canton-Akron area. Mm-hmm. And we had a station that I really, really loved their morning show. Local people, local guys, and it just was really relatable. It was fun. They were my people. And then out of nowhere, and I'm sure it was something, you know, probably they had been advertising, but not during my show,
right,
you know, that I was listening to. But out of nowhere, I turn it on one morning and it's Bob and Tom. And I'm like, who are these fools? Who are these fools? I was not happy. Their style was much more crass than
it's a little different. Yeah.
Than mm-hmm. the people who I had been listening to before. I was like, nope, they're not my people. They're not local. They don't know what they're doing. And so I think that just really kind of like gives a nice arc to my story now back at local radio.
And some people in Marysville probably know this. Before we carried Bob and Tom in the morning over there, our Mid-Ohio Breakfast Club with Mark.
That's right. They were
used
over there
to be
too.
Also mm-hmm. on 96.7 when it was called True Oldies WQTT. Mm-hmm. So then we switched the format to classic rock, and you know, we brought Bob and Tom there, and everybody seemed to like it there. And now people are probably waking up in the morning now going, this isn't Bob and Tom. So the same thing that you're thinking right now is basically the exact opposite.
The
like,
reverse.
Wait, this isn't Bob and Tom, you know. But yeah, no, Bob and Tom is still on the air over on classic rock 95X, so if you want to give a listen over there, it should get good coverage over there in Marysville.
And that's still available online as well?
That's 95X? Right. Yep. Okay. WVXGradio.com over there is Bob and Tom's on all the time. So.
Great. Okay, cool.
Now here's the biggest question. What's going to happen to my 92.9 little bit that I recorded?
That's right. Oh! That's
we heard
right.
That just before uh-huh. the Robert Palmer song on the Breakfast Club. Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You probably heard Nicole's little my boobe, or how did it go?
My boba, banana, uh-huh. fana, fo, fi, me, my, mo, my.
And you just go, my 96.7. See, because we're going to be on 96.7, so now we'll be my 96.7.
Okay.
So starting on January 1st, that's when we come on my 96.7, and we'll have to have Nicole re-record her little program there.
Yep. For a fee.
For a fee.
For a fee.
For a small fee.
Yeah. Studio fees.
Talent fees, that's what it is.
Talent fees, that's definitely it.
Uh-huh. So,
well, that's great. It's good to know. I'm glad. Actually, I'm very glad that
CD 92.9.
Excuse me.
No, you're good.
Got their new home. That's mm-hmm. that's good because alt rock does not have a lot of outlets.
That's right.
So that's I'm glad they're gonna have a home. I'm glad we're still gonna have a home.
Right.
When
that's
I read
right.
that, I thought, uh oh.
See, and that's another thing. A lot of listeners were wondering. They're like, oh, you're going away, but
yeah.
We wanted to be very clear. We're not going away. We're just going up the dial. But we're happy to welcome CD 92.9 up here in Delaware County, and hopefully they can service well, but other than that, we're not going anywhere. Just
I thought we were headed for our long way to Tipperary moment, which neither of you in this room will recognize that reference, but that was the last episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Aww.
When they all got fired from WJM.
Oh.
And they were all in a big huddle and they couldn't figure out what, you know, how to get out, and then somebody started singing It's a Long Way to Tipperary, and then they started moving like the Blob at the door. So yeah, I figured that was where we were headed, but I'm glad we're not. So anyway, so we've got a few more weeks here at our current frequency, but then we'll see you further up the dial when it's done. So we got just a minute or two left. There's a couple of things going on at the library this week we want to make sure we talk about. And I wanted to mention the virtual book club mm-hmm. on the December 10th from 1 to 2. This is a little different way of doing the book club. They're not going to suggest a book. You participate with what your favorite book is. You could talk about Diary of a Wimpy Kid, or mm-hmm. I could talk about The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And it's you just have to send, it's easy to register on our website, or you can send an email to Vicki Schmar at the Orange Branch. She is the person who's running this, and she'll make sure you get registered and you get the information about how to become part of that Zoom meeting.
Yep.
So that's one thing that's coming up this week.
We've got at the on Monday, all day, you can pop by the Orange Branch Library. There are winter take-home craft bags. This is adult crafts, so, I mean, your kids could help, but they're going to need a little bit more dexterity. Even though we're curbside, just when you pull up, say, I'm here for the craft bag, and go ahead and tell them all about that. The other fun one on Monday at 3 o'clock, you have to pre-register for this. It's a Zoom. It's live and interactive for your middle schoolers, your teens and tweens. They're doing series starters, which is cool. They talk about multiple books, and all of the books that they're talking about in this setting on Monday are all books that are the beginning of a series.
Oh, cool. That's a great way to jump in. So if you just heard about Diary of a Wimpy Kid and you want your kid to start reading about it, you can find out how to get started with it.
So. It's exactly. A good book. It's a really good book.
And if I can give a quick plug, the new podcast that's on our Off the Shelf with Delaware Library podcast channel, you can listen to on Wednesday, the Trivia Showdown, and I'm a guest on it this week, and I don't do well.
I've volunteered for it, but so far Kellen's keeping me away from it. but speaking of that, aren't you the contestant on Hollywood Squares too?
I am not. I let another friend take that opportunity.
Okay. Well, we do know that Mark is the Mark Bingaman, our lead-in, is the Peter Marshall character on that Hollywood Squares.
That's
right. A fundraiser for Arena Fair this Saturday at 7 o'clock online. So if you have an opportunity, check out some of your favorite really local actors and enjoy that. That should be a lot of fun.
That'll be awesome.
So. Gage, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on what's happening with the
radio
station.
Absolutely. I love being a guest.
Thank you.
Nicole, thank you as always. I will be off the show next week. Molly will be sitting in for me. Our guest is our new HR manager at the library, Amanda Sheetron, will be with you, and I'll be back on the 18th. So
we can't wait.
Until then, we will unfortunately see you in the parking lot.